Wonderful to see you. Sunshine outside. It was fun being outside with Dave and Ross putting up a nativity scene, especially last year. I remember it was so cold. I was going, man, I can't. But out yesterday it was a lot better. So we had a good time together. And nobody got injured. Did we get injured? A little bit sore maybe or whatever, but I think we're okay, right? Ross, I don't know where. I have to peek around the tree. Ross is here or not. So wonderful. Yeah, Christmas. You know, I'm thinking about this, and, you know, it's interesting, you know, even what Randy's commenting on, why are we going back to the beginning? Well, we'll understand more, but unwrapping Christmas. You've been there, I've been there, you know, the joy, especially as a kid, you know, you get these presents, you don't know what's in them, and you start peeling. Some people go crazy, and some people are very delicate. They don't want to even tear the paper and stuff like that. But they're trying to unwrap this to get to the nitty-gritty of what's inside. Some people even call it deconstructing. You know, people like to deconstruct this, deconstruct that, to see how it ticks. And well, today we're going to be looking at Christmas and seeing really what ticks there. What is Christmas about? And of course, as I grew up, we grew up with a tradition of many presents and as many wrappings as, you know, tear them up and stuff like that, so much to where you can hardly even walk in our house. Sometimes I think I disappeared and my brothers would be going, where are you? Because the wrappings are all over the place, you know, Christmas mess, you know, we're always always looking to get to that present, to that thing, to that whatever's in that box or whatever, however is wrapped. And, you know, with all the beautiful colors and all the fluffy stuff and all the excitement of Christmas and all the Santa Claus and all this stuff, we have to just kind of unwrap all that, move it aside, and take a real good look at Christmas. Let's pray before we move on. Father God, yes, this is your time, your word. Yeah, your word is awesome. It's supernatural because it doesn't come from man. It's breathed by the living creator God into the hearts of man who wrote this word so others could read it and carry it forth like a torch handing it on to other generations, the truth, the hope, the victory that we have in you, this wonderful plan that you have for our lives. And what you've done for us, Lord, bless this time, bless these words, that your Holy Spirit will move in a mighty way and touch us and guide us and help us to draw near to you. May you receive all the honor and glory in it. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Perfection in the garden, yeah. I mean, in the beginning. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And as you read that chapter 1 of Genesis, you know, we have to go back to the beginning because this is where Christmas really began. All right? Or the reason for Christmas began, the origins, right? So, you know, everything was perfect in the garden at his creation. He spoke and it came to be. There was perfect relationship between Adam and Eve and the Creator God. Everything was just right. They walked with him in the garden. There was a perfect relationship between Adam and Eve at that time. And there was a perfect relationship between Adam and Eve and all of creation. A wonderful time for all. Well, God did make one thing. God knows us. And he didn't create robots. He gave us free choice. So he tests where our hearts are. Well, he gave that one mandate in the garden. Do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. The tree of what? The knowledge of good and evil. You can eat from all the other trees, but not that one. Simple. Simple mandate, right? So easy. Keep that one, you know. I can even keep that. Just one thing, got it. You know, speed limit 55. Yeah, I can keep that. Oh, Dave, don't grin that big there. Wow. he knows me too well already. So all this coming together, you know, their hearts were going to be tempted to see where their faith is. Did they trust in their Lord? Did they trust in the one who created them? Well, of course, the serpent, who is really the enemy to the devil, the Satan, slithers into that garden, and he has his own goal in mind. See, he's what in John 10:10, where Jesus is saying, well, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Well, he's talking about Satan. He's talking about the serpent. His purpose was to destroy and hinder anything in God's creation. He wanted to blow God's creation apart. He was mad. He was angry. He got thrown out of heaven because he rebelled against God the Father. He lost. But he's angry. He's like an angry bully. You know, he gets kicked out, but he's still going to stir up as much problems as he can. And if you look at, we remember the story of Pinocchio, right? Each time he told a fib, his nose grew, right? Well, the enemy, you know, and John 8:44 was described like this. Jesus described and says, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus knew, knows who the serpent is. But Adam and Eve were rather taken in by the serpent. The temptation was just too much. See, Eve was even confused. Did you notice that the serpent didn't talk to Adam? Because Adam, he was the first one to receive that mandate, right? God told Adam, and then he delivered that to Eve. Well, the serpent is so smart. He's taking advantage of this. He's coming to Eve. He's not going to talk to Adam, who's supposed to be the leader, the spiritual leader of the family, and a protector of Eve. Well, he didn't do a very good job, right? Because she was confused from the very beginning when Satan was starting to question what God was saying to them. And she added, well, you cannot even touch the tree. Well, God didn't say that. But so there's confusion in there. And that's how he works. He works in the confusion. He works, you know, as people speak to us, you know, when people are saying, well, I heard this about God. The Bible says this and that. And we're kind of going, well, I'm not sure. I have to look that up. And some people just kind of eat it in. Oh, but God says this. Oh, you're supposed to act this way and that way. Oh, he does this and that. You know, even like what we're discussing this morning, you know, things just get passed around, you know. But is it really the truth? Is it really God speaking? Is this really from God? Is it of God? We get confused. And then distrust is so easy to build into these relationships. And of course, when he's, you know, Satan's pretty much promising, hey, there's no consequences, anything. Go ahead. Do what you feel is right for you. Oh, remember that in the days of Ruth? The days of Judges there. Do what you think is right for you. And don't worry about the rest because nothing's going to happen. You will not surely die. That's Satan. You will surely not die. You will have no consequences for what you do. What a liar. Oh, he's good at it. He's father of lies. Don't forget that. Temptation was just too much. Too much. If I was there, it would be too much for me. I couldn't resist that. I'd be overwhelmed. Eve was overwhelmed. Adam was, I don't know where he was, playing computer games or something like that. I don't know, maybe looking at a worm on the ground. I don't know what he was doing. But the problem is, there were consequences. If you look at this, you know, after this, there's all this perfection got broken. The relationship between Adam and Eve was broken between them and God, the Father. They had to go hide. They feared his judgment. relationships between Adam and Eve were broken then. No longer so close. In fact, there's a lot of tension, right, in the marriage today. They even did a pathetic attempt at covering up their sin before a holy God, using little fig leaves and sewing together, thinking that's going to be good enough. Oh my, little did they know. Little did they know. Creation was broken. The soil no longer produced easily and wonderfully. The man who was tilling the soil will now go into the dust at one time, at the end of his life, and somebody else is going to tend that soil with his dust laying in there. Perfection was destroyed. You know, in Romans 1:23-25, if you want to check that out, I'm not going to read it, but it was just a bad exchange. You know, in football, it's pretty critical for the quarterback to get that ball right into the breadbasket of that running back so it doesn't go all over the place. But there was a failed exchange, a bad exchange here, because Adam and Eve exchanged God's glory and God's truth for a lie. It's really what it came down to. They wanted their own thing. They liked what Satan was saying, that serpent so cunning. Oh, no consequences. I'm going to be like God. Sorry. They exchanged these wonders for a lie. And there became the curse. God cursed. And if you want to look at that a little bit closer, I'm not going to go really close into that. But he cursed a woman. He cursed a serpent. He cursed a man. He cursed the soil. All of creation is cursed. We're under a curse, the curse of sin that brought death into the world. That why people keep on saying, well, why do we have so much pain and sickness and all these problems? Go back, you got to go back to the beginning. That's why. That's why we die. That's why we lose our loved ones. In Galatians, it says this, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. See, the enemy is so happy. He's here to destroy us, to steal us away from the truth of God, the relationship we have with him. Right? And he wants to kill everything, everything. Romans 8, there it says this, the mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. See, when Adam and Eve decided to follow the serpent and disobedience to God, they became enemies of God. And it's trickled down all the way to us through that DNA of Adam and Eve. Hostile towards God. I remember being hostile towards God. I don't know about you, but I remember. I remember being alienated. Controlled by the sinful nature. Can't please God. There's no faith. We're talking about the faith candle. There's no faith. You know, we can only please God by faith, by walking in faith. If we don't have it, can't please Him. So praise the Lord, though, for this Christmas plan. Randy, this is why we had to go back to Genesis, because we had to deconstruct all the stuff, all this fluff around us, and get to the nitty-gritty of why we have to have Christmas. Because without it, we're in a whole bunch of trouble. Genesis 3:15, there's that glimmer of that good news. There says this, and it's kind of weird because I remember people talking about this. I'm kind of going, what do you mean by this? It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring, and that is really the seed, your seed and hers. Oh, I'm sorry. Your offspring and hers. And then next it says, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Well, the seed they're talking about, it's the Messiah. See, there's that glimmer of the good news happening there. Because God says, well, you know, I had to kick these guys out of the garden now. I'm going to put a big, angel there with a sword flashing all around. They can't enter ever again. Not as they are now. But God doesn't need us, but he certainly desires to have a relationship with us. And because of this pursuit for that relationship, Christmas is born. The Christmas plan was born. I'm going to send my son. Because I know this is the only way. The only one that can remove that sword from the garden. So my people can come back into relationship with me. There's only one. See, to talk about that seed, you know, getting bruised. The father was, he was willing to allow his son to be bruised on a cross. But it wasn't for eternity because he rose again. But for the enemy, it was a different thing. His head would be crushed. And for that, there's a time where he will be judged and he will lose all power and authority ever again. The glimmer of the good news right there in Genesis. Finding Christmas in the beginning of Genesis. The reason for the season. Well, we know that the enemy came to destroy, kill, and steal and all that, right? Well, Jesus came. And one of the reasons there in 1 John says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So the devil is trying to destroy God's work. Jesus turned that right around on him. He came to destroy the devil's work. Without this Jesus between us, we couldn't get there, right? This is that simple explanation, right, of the good news. You know, without the cross, without Christ going and dying in our place, there's a huge gap between us and God, and we can't get there no matter what we do, no matter how good we are, no matter how many prayers we lift up, no matter how nice we look, how much money we have, how much fame or whatever, it can't get across. You can't build it on your own. Only Christ could bridge that gap through his blood, through his death, and allows us to cross not in our own strength, but through Christ. Alone. See, the enemy didn't want that. He liked that big old wall there. He liked that, make that chasm even wider. He didn't want us to get across there. He was doing everything he can. All the lies, all the deceptions, all that, you know, pointing to, you're okay, there's no consequences. You're okay. Go ahead and do whatever you want. Yeah, go do that. Forget about God. He has nothing for you. Well, how did Jesus destroy the works of the enemy? Well, this Isaiah, God speaking through him in 53, explains it pretty well. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for what? Our transgressions, not his own, mine, yours, the whole world's transgressions. Transgressions is really just another word for sin, rebellion against God, right? He was crushed for our iniquities. Oh, he's crushed. His body was broken for us, not his bones, but he died for us. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, And by his wounds, we are healed. People were saying, heal me, God. I need healing. You know, he can heal us at any time, but you know what? We will be healed, those who believe in him. When we are resurrected again to meet him in the sky, we will be whole. The bodies will be perfect. The healing will be done just right. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how he destroyed it. Knocking down those walls that the enemy has placed between us and the Father in heaven. He didn't want them. The enemy didn't want us to do that. But Christ was saying, no, that's why I came. That's why he was born in a little manger, lowly, to a nobody's, Mary and Joseph. This little baby. But that little baby, don't forget, is the one who sustains all of creation. He's the one that holds it all together. Even in the form of a baby, he was still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Son of God. Even in that, he is to be feared. Those wise men came to see him. They didn't see him. They heard about this king. They heard about this cloud rider that will set everything straight. You see, they walked in fear of him. They came there to give him gifts, to make peace with this king. How about you? How about me? The curse is cured. How did it get cured? Because remember those curses on creation, on Adam and Eve. Yeah, it's the serpent. It's what, the curse is cured. In Galatians 3, explains this pretty well. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Have you ever thought about that? It's an odd thing. He became sin for us. Our sin. The sinless one. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He did that for us. He took that on himself for us. That's Christmas. Have you thought about it? He's born in a manger. We sing these wonderful songs to this baby. But this baby was born to die for us, to set everything straight because of what happened in the garden way back then. The Christmas plan, so wonderful and beautiful. Salvation comes in this way. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. Oh, but you go and talk to people here and there, they'll say, oh, no, you can't say that. You're excluding people. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, don't you dare exclude me. But I say, yes, I do dare, because you don't understand. Because if you really read this and understand it, it's not excluding anyone, but rather all-inclusive for everyone in this world. Because there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. One name, one way, one person. Through him, we received salvation. And that is for everybody. And that's why people are going all over the world, you know, from a lot of different countries, not just the U.S., but from Korea, from countries in South America. They're going to these other places in the world where they haven't heard the good news yet. Or they have heard of good news, but it's been so confused with all this other stuff, they didn't have the clear gospel presentation. These people are going in these high mountains and deserts and trying to follow nomads around all these in the oceans and things like that to proclaim Christ. The Christmas message. It's for you too. That's for you too. Remember talking to the Thai, speaking in their language, their heart language, and seeing their eyes just kind of go, oh. And the joy they had to hear this good news. Oh, how they loved the story of the prodigal son. Because I tell you something, they felt like that. They knew they were sinners, but they didn't know there's a God, a Father that would actually open their arms and run after them and take them in. They didn't know about that. They just think about this other God people talk about, the judge, the judgment. You know, Adam and Eve hide themselves because they're afraid of God, but God in his mercy didn't say, I'm killing you, you're dead. No, he clothed them. He killed an animal, the first living creature on earth that was killed by God, and he covered them with its blood so they can be right before him once again. Do you see how that works? That's a foreshadowing of what Christ did to us, the perfect Lamb, perfection, the Son of God, who did it all for us. We're covered by his blood. That death that he died covered us. So we are made right before him. And we have peace with him. The Christmas story. One name for everyone. All inclusive. So wrapping ourselves up in Jesus. Well, you know, the things that last forever. Don't forget this. This is so important. Eternity. God's kingdom will last forever. God's word's going to last forever. And people are going to last forever. So when you think about when you're going to spend your time, and I know we get all busy with this and that. We got our games, we got our schooling, we got our jobs, we got our families and all this stuff. Don't forget about the eternity, the things are forever. Invest. Invest in what's eternal. Because the things that we get ourselves busy with on earth, they're not eternal. Think about our priorities and the times and what we do with that time that God's given. We can one heartbeat away from meeting God, right? We might think that we're immortal. We might think that we have, oh, tomorrow and next week and all that. I don't know. I meet people and hear stories. People, they walk out of the house, they're driving down the road and they get squashed by a big truck or whatever. Boom, that's it for them. Get it right. Look at the priorities of our lives. Where are you really investing your life? Is it in those video games all day long? Is it in that job? Is it in the family where we're running all over the place sometimes? Yeah, I know. I went in California when I was growing up, or even when we were came back from Thailand. Oh, people are just, oh, they just, I don't even know how they survive the craziness of life. Think about that, the eternity, and invest in what's eternal. So what gift are you going to bring? You know that little, that wonderful song, The Little Drummer Boy? I think that was one of my dad's, one of his favorites. My dad passed away a long time ago in 1983, but I still remember that. You know, but I think that little drummer boy coming up, I have nothing to give him, but I can do this. Play a wonderful song for him. So what are you going to bring to Jesus? What are you wrapping yourself up into to give yourself? What, where is it? You need to come before God and talk with him. What are you going to bring to him? Hearts, our time, our spiritual gifts. I have spiritual gifts, yeah. He gives all of his people, all those who believe in him have a spiritual gift. We might not be using it right now. We might not even know about it. But you have it. Seek it out. Ask him. See where and hear, listen to what people are saying around you. You'll find your gift. It's worth it. And Psalm 147, it says, you know, this is the one that brings it all together, right? He heals the brokenhearted. We are broken people. We are broken-hearted people, every single one of us, and everybody in this whole world is broken-hearted. Only He can bring healing there. And He's the one that binds up our wounds. We're always calling out, heal us, bind us up. Well, yeah, He's the one to come to. He's the one to come to. Seek Him. Get real with Him. And remember why we have Christmas. For our salvation. Through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, again, we are amazed at Your Word. There's so much more. But the good news is so wonderful to proclaim. Father, give us those hearts to proclaim this good news to others. People who have been confused. Lord, people who haven't even heard maybe. Lord, help us to be faithful in that. Help us to be prayerful for those around us. It could be even family, close friends, co-workers around us. Help us to persevere in prayer, not to give up on them, because You are the God of the impossible. We can't ever forget that, because we know that even ourselves, it was impossible for us to receive this Christmas gift of Jesus Christ. That was not our own. That was a gift from You. Help us to persevere in prayer. Help us to look for those opportunities to proclaim Christ in the lives of others, to speak the truth out of love. Use our lives. Help us to put aside things that are taking us away from the things of You and to get things reordered in our lives where we are investing in eternal things. Guide us. Show us a way. We praise You in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of His people say, amen.